The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and the Week in Comics. We've got Speculator Corner, we got Back Issue Bonus, our FOCs for Monday, and recommended reading. We have three books this week, one of them obviously being Absolute Carnage number one. Spoiler, both John and I really liked it, so we talk about that, and of course, House of X this week. So, let's head into the store. Hey, John, we're back.
We are back.
See, I didn't come up with it. Missed the animation.
I know, right, I was waiting for you to say something else, but...
See?
I got stuck. I had my hand up waiting for the high five, and it never came.
Yep. Yeah, I left you hanging there. Just wanted to see what would happen. I always come in with something so quippy.
Yeah, well, now you know, and we don't have to do that again.
No.
Hey, I want to ask you a favor, though.
Uh-oh.
Can you make it be September already?
I know.
Because I watched the trailer for season two of Titans like 17 times.
Going right into the
yesterday.
News here.
Well, this is not news.
I know.
Just conversation.
Yeah.
Man, I cannot wait for for September.
Well, you know, it's and the sad thing is we're so excited and we're going to get one episode. We can't binge it. You know, you can't be like, yeah, it's like, which I actually I like the difference.
I know you do.
I like having that. If everything was like that, it probably wouldn't be as much fun. But where we get different ways to watch our content is kind of fun. So it'll be fun. And it gives us something every week to look forward to. I really hope Disney Plus goes that way, too.
I mean, I like it both ways. You know, obviously we're going to talk about The Boys later. And, you know, I plowed that thing down in one day.
Did you really?
So, I mean, I like... Yeah, it's only 8 episodes. It was like 8 hours. That's a day.
I've told you stories where I have to put a bookmark in a comic book, a 7-minute comic book.
Yeah.
I can't plot out 8 hours in a row.
I think we did it like 6 and 2, actually. Like, I think we went to the next night to finish it. But still, like
right.
I said, there's something to be said for just being able to watch it.
Right.
But then, like you said, now I've got to wait like a year for more Boys.
Well, here's the thing.
As opposed to getting at least 8 weeks of it.
Right.
Then I only have to wait, you know, 44 weeks instead of 52 weeks.
Yeah. And, so, I mean, here's an opportunity right now for people to grab, you know, jump on DC Universe. And
right.
Hush is coming out next week. And
now you're going into the news.
No. But what I'm saying is Hush is coming out next week. I'm seeing people talk about buying Hush.
Right.
That's $20. If you buy it it was out 2 weeks ago, whenever I got it, on digital. Now it's out on Blu-ray. People are talking about being excited, going out and buying it now. And that came out yesterday. And it's like, you're spending $20. I'm not trying to, like, not sell Blu-rays here, but... You could, I don't know what it is a month. I think it's like $7.
$6.
Is it $6 right now? I don't know.
$6 or $7.
I don't know what the
sign
up is now. I don't know if it's changed or not. But say it's $6, $7. For $7, you can have Hush for free next week. You can binge all of Titans. And then you can
binge all of Swamp Thing, including its open, unresolved ending, and be frustrated forever.
Correct.
So,
yeah,
you know, if you want to do that.
All of these things you can do and then start Titans, and if that was the worst $7 you ever spent, you don't have to spend another dime and think of all the content you just absorbed.
Right. Well, and then, you know, now that we're – I guess since we're talking about DC Universe, I was going to mention this too, but – and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but – the Shazam documentary dropped today.
Yeah.
Also on DC Universe.
I wanted to watch that. I've been too busy, and yes, it's... We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah. It just, like I said, I know we mentioned it a few weeks ago,
right.
And we've been both kind of looking forward to that, so I was glad to see that came today. So, yeah.
Yeah. It, I mean,
lots of good stuff.
I know Dr. Joe picked it up. He put a thing out on Twitter when he finally got DC Universe, and he's enjoying it.
Well, and then for those Nintendo Switch users, it dropped today for Nintendo Switch.
So really?
You can watch it. You can watch it there as well. So,
oh, wow.
I think the only thing lacking at this point is the PS4. I think it's on every other platform now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's good. So, I mean, there's really, I really don't see a reason not to at least try it out.
Right.
And I mean, the longer you wait, there's just more and more content, so it's a benefit. But I think
right.
Know.
Well, then, like you said, for $7, if you just watched Titans and waited for the premiere of season 2, and then you could decide whether or not you wanted to continue.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what's $7? You can't even go to McDonald's for $7 anymore. So
I wouldn't know.
Well, I don't either. I don't go there, but I know you can't.
So speaking of streaming, Disney, you saw that? Disney's...
Yeah, well, that I had that
Disney
in my
Plus
news, too.
Disney Plus is doing there. Yeah, well, might as well roll right into it. $12.99 to bundle Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus.
Yeah, that's insane. You know, I already pay like $8 a month for Hulu.
Yeah.
So now you're talking about $4.99 more. I don't have ESPN currently because it's not part of my DirecTV package.
Yeah.
So basically to get ESPN and Disney Plus for $4.99 a month.
Right.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
I think I had five different conversations about this subject, and I think all five of them were different directions. Everybody was like, oh, one person's like, I've already got like Hulu and ESPN for this price, so I'm getting Disney Plus for like $2. I already want Hulu, and I don't care about the others, but I'm paying this for Hulu, so I'll get these ones. It's like people are already involved. I think I'm the only one that has none of that. I don't have Hulu. My daughter has Hulu, so we actually use hers. I haven't really gotten into Hulu yet. I'm just waiting. When Disney Plus comes up, I'll sign myself up for all of them. I don't even know what's on ESPN Plus.
Well, it's just ESPN. I mean,
it's just
streaming? Access to
It's
just access to streaming.
Yeah, I have that
ESPN,
on cable, so
I don't have it because when I downgraded my package, that was one of the channels that I lost. And you know, for the savings I was getting, you know, I mean, I miss ESPN occasionally, but.
Nah.
You know, I don't watch it all that often because
it's only
the random Sunday night football game or you know, Sunday night baseball game that I care about. But for the most part, I don't miss it. So, but I mean, to get it almost basically for free, is part of what I'm already going to be getting. Then I'll take advantage of it because I'll have it. So,
yeah, the way I look at it is, I want the Disney Plus, and obviously, I think the Hulu is going to be a big part of it because.
Yeah.
As we've talked about in the past, I think that's where a lot of their adult content, like, you know, Deadpool might go there instead of being on Disney Plus. So, but yeah, that's that sparked a lot of I know when I'm getting it through all. I got texts, I got tweets, I got DMs, and I got Facebook contacts. All these different people. Did you hear this? Did you hear this? So I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, it was all over the
place
when
buzz.
It broke, I think yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it 900 times on Facebook since then, so.
Yeah. What else you got? I got a few things. See if we match up.
Well, I was going to say, let's stick with Hulu for a minute. They announced that season 3 of The Runaways, which is coming shortly on Hulu, is going to cross over with Cloak and Dagger. So what's interesting about that is Cloak and Dagger airs on Freeform and it does not air on Hulu. So I just thought that was interesting that you were going to have like cross network. It kind of brings me back to when, you know, Supergirl was over there on CBS.
Yeah.
And they did that crossover with the CW.
Yeah. With the Flash.
I imagine the parent company is the same.
Right.
Otherwise, this wouldn't be allowed to happen. But I just thought that was interesting. I loved The Runaways. I've watched the first two seasons. They were great. Cloak and Dagger, I couldn't really get into, to be honest with you. I watched like half the season, and I stopped watching it. But the characters themselves were good. It was just the story, I don't know. It didn't grab me, so I stopped watching it.
I haven't watched either of them. Like I said, I haven't been on Hulu, and I've I so you said Cloak and Dagger wasn't very good because I've seen the commercials and I was actually kind of interested a little bit, but
I couldn't get into the story. I just thought it bounced around too much and it was a little incoherent. I liked both of the characters.
Isn't that the purpose of Cloak and Dagger being like?
Well, yeah, I guess. But like I said, I just thought it was interesting that the show's airing on different networks. We're going to cross over. And it'll be interesting, you know, if nothing else, it'll force you to watch at least one episode, probably, of Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
Because well, they'll be
That's what's great about those shared universes. What's made the CW so successful. It started, I mean, I don't know what Black Lightning's ratings are. I'm just going off of my own thing. And when they said that it wasn't part of the Arrowverse, that just gave me the opportunity, like, because you're already cramming to try and fit everything, all your content in, and when you're like, well, this isn't part of it, it was easier to not watch it, whereas if they said this was part of it, we would have, I know I would have been like, all right, I gotta watch it now. You know, and lo and behold, it actually is crossing over this year. He's gonna be part of...
It's going to be part of Crisis, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'll continue to cross over after that, because the nature of Crisis allows them to do crazy stuff like that.
Right.
But there's no guarantee that they'll be able to continue crossing over when Crisis is done. But it's cool that they're doing that.
Yeah.
To get him in there.
Do you want to keep going with that one and the Kevin Conroy?
Well, I can, because I had some, obviously I had a few more stories to go with that. The first one is that Marv Wolfman is going to be part of the writing team for
that too.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Because obviously he created Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I had that down as well, and I wanted to ask you a question about that. Do you think they brought him on for... The first thing I thought of when I heard that was, I wanted to get your opinion on, did they bring him on for accuracy or for legitimacy when it's not accurate? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
let's just
put it out there now. It is not going to be comics accurate.
That's what I mean.
Because
I never thought it was.
There's no way that it can be.
Right.
I think it's more... Maybe just a nod to Marv, to be honest with you.
Well,
you know, they're bringing everybody, you know, they're trying to bring everybody back who's been involved in any of these, you know, different types of shows.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know, Tom Welling's coming back. Brandon Routh is getting to be Superman. You know, all these things are coming back. And, like, it's a shame to not let Marv come and play also.
Right.
When, you know, he's still around. He's still writing for DC.
Right.
It's not like he's faded away. So I think it's more just... Hey, we're bringing everybody in. And then, of course, I mean, he's a great storyteller. And he's a great writer. So maybe to help him shoehorn in the thing. You know, because obviously, like, Black Lightning wasn't a part of Crisis on Infinite Earths. You know, there's things that are going to happen in this TV crossover that didn't happen. You know, Green Arrow didn't die in Crisis. So,
I don't think he dies in this one either.
Well, you never know.
He goes to Never Never Land.
But it's not... But again, this is... Crisis is going to be centered a little bit more around Ollie, and that wasn't the case in the comics. So,
you know what I mean? Like, you bring the actual writer in, and it gives legitimacy for the people like, that was nothing like it, you know, like the comics. And, you know, just to kind of get ahead of that, quote, storm.
Right.
You know, and that, in this day and age, that's kind of the thing that pops in my head first is when, you know.
They're bracing for the social media backlash.
Yeah. So, like I said, Kevin Conroy, he's going to get to play Bruce Wayne.
Finally. That's awesome.
Yeah. And one of the facsimiles of Batman, I guess you'd call it that. My thing is, how many other people are they going to bring in between now? How many more people are we going to hear about? And how many do you think we don't hear about?
Well, you know, obviously we know about Burt Ward already. I did read something today, though, that said Linda Carter was dropping out. So
why?
As of now, she's not going to be part of it.
Really?
Don't know why, but that was something that I read. I also read somewhere, you know, again, this could be wrong, but I read somewhere that there's going to be up to three versions of Batman.
well,
in
that,
Crisis
right.
also.
And that was my
point. You know, we know about Kevin Conroy. Like, who else, what, who don't we know about? You know, obviously they can't bring Adam West back, you know, because he's passed on. But, and I don't think they're going to be able to get somebody like Christian Bale or Michael Keaton. So who knows what they're doing there. But
yeah.
I don't know who the other two Batman could be. Maybe we get Sir Jorah from over there on Titans.
I was just going to say, yeah.
to come over, which would be cool. But
yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's what I mean. It's like they can bring in as many of any of these characters as they want, and I think that's what they're doing. They're just flooding this thing with so many characters, and it's if you know anything about all of their crossovers, they're a lot of fun. There's a lot of stuff, Easter eggs in the backgrounds. And this thing's going to be loaded. Speaking of that, did you see the schedule for it? You know how?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see the schedule.
Okay, so the schedule came out. DC World put it out, but
it is broken up, right?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I did hear that early on, but I didn't see the schedule posted.
So this is what I saw posted so far. I don't know if this is actual fact. A lot of rumors going on right now about a lot of this stuff. Right. I'll get to one of them in a minute, which is pretty funny, but. So part one is going to be Supergirl's time slot, Sunday, December 8th at 8 p.m. Part two is Batwoman's time slot on Monday, December 9th at 8 p.m. And then part three is The Flash's time slot on Tuesday, December 10th at 8 p.m. Then part four is Arrow's time slot on Tuesday, January 14th.
Yeah.
So it's like over a month later.
I had heard that.
Huh?
Yeah. I had heard that already, that it was going to be broken up.
Yep. And then
by about a month.
The conclusion is part 5 DC's Legends of Tomorrow time slot Tuesday, January 14th at 9 p.m. So 4 and 5 are on the 14th. It's basically a 2-hour finale.
Right.
A month later. So that, I mean, when I first saw that, I was kind of disappointed because we have that month-long wait. But
no, I'm not.
I know. But the other thing is that Arrow, what episode?
That's probably it for Arrow.
You think? Yeah. You think that's episode 10?
They're only getting 10.
I know. But do you
think? They start in October.
Yeah.
October, November, December. That's probably it.
I don't think they would. I mean, go. He might. I don't think. I think there would be at least one more after that. Or something.
I don't know, man. I don't think so. I think that's probably it.
Could be the.
You know.
Yeah,
we
you're
don't
right.
Know, but
that could.
But
be.
I think that's probably it. And then he'll. I mean, he'll probably show up on the part two. You
that
know,
night.
Like he'll show up that night on the. You know, on the Legends slide, I would imagine. But I think that'll be the last full Arrow episode. Because how? What better way to go out?
But that's like you're going out that so that 8 seasons. And your last episode isn't even like your episode. It's a crossover event. You know what I mean? Because it's not really your episode. It's a crisis event that's just taking place in your time slot.
Yeah, I get what you're saying,
you know?
But
I feel like it needs one more after that.
Well, then you could just look at it as his last episode is January 7th or whatever, you know?
Oh,
then,
I don't think there'll be an episode. I think this is how they come back in. I don't think that, you know, they take their winter
break. Oh, you're right. Yeah, this is probably their winter break,
right.
Yeah. Well, then it's December 12th or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, his last full episode is the one he gets before Crisis, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I just think that's a good way to go out. You know,
yeah, wow,
and you know, obviously, you know, we're not expecting him to be alive. Like that's going to be it.
I am.
You know, all right. So let's say he is alive and he goes off into the Never Never Land to live with Felicity. You don't get another episode after that. Like it's done. What episode are you going to get? You know.
Well, I don't know. I'm not the writers.
Well, I'm just saying.
You just don't go out. Your final episode isn't the part one of a two-parter. You know, this is your final episode of 8 seasons, the culmination of 8 seasons, and it's part one of a two-parter of a different event. That's not
I think that's where he gets written out. He gets his either non-happy or happy ending, and that's it. Yeah. You know?
We'll
see.
The thing that I've always held on to is they've already forecasted the future. So is this a different timeline? Because in past crossovers, they had Ollie come out in the future with the one arm.
Right.
So you know he's around somewhere, according to that part.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows?
But Crisis could unwrite all of the future. You know, it could undo all of that.
And then it could rewrite it. It's comic books, man.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on? Oh,
not on
DC
Universe.
Not
on Crisis.
I have one more, and that was: did you hear the rumor from one of those clickbait websites about Michael Rosenbaum?
I did.
And
I saw that too.
And did you hear what he said? Because,
oh no.
So the rumor was that he's
you're right, he's going to be Lex.
He's going to Smallville's Lex Luthor will appear in Crisis on Infinite Earths by a clickbait. I won't use their name cuz I'm not a big fan of theirs. Michael Rosenbaum put, "First I've heard of this ... Cryer, you know something I don't? Anyone?" At Mr. John Cryer.
And that's funny.
And John Cryer comes back. "I think they'd be nuts not to, but I don't know anything that you don't." So they tagged the website. They like basically bashed the website. Like it's
Well, that's probably the same. They might have been the same ones who said Linda Carter wasn't coming back too. So
yeah,
you know, I don't know. We'll just wait and see.
I was listening to another podcast over the weekend. And they actually were bashing this exact website for being completely inaccurate. And this is before that happened. And I just thought it was funny that when it happened, I was like, whoops. But that's, you know, when you're in the clickbaity business.
Yeah, but that's too bad if they don't. Because once again, he sounds like he'd be down for it. So why not bring him back? You know?
Yeah. Well, and that's why you put that out there. If you're that website, you're like, hey,
exactly.
I mean, hey, just throwing darts at the wall here.
Because they might, you know, they obviously have time to continue writing or keep tweaking. So,
right.
Yeah, they've got time to get them in there if they want to.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. How about Andy Serkis?
Yeah, directing Venom 2.
Yep.
I saw that.
I guess he closed the deal to direct Venom 2. His long list of directorial, whatever,
resume.
There you go. Yeah, resume.
Yeah. Resume.
Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle. He did that.
Mowgli.
Is that what it was?
Yes. It's the Jungle Book, dude.
Oh, see, I didn't see that. The Ruins of Empires, TV movie in 2018, and Breathe in 2017.
Didn't see any of them.
No,
but
I couldn't even pronounce one of them. So.
I know. I didn't see any of them, but, you know, I mean, I was going to say, obviously, he's a great performer, but that doesn't necessarily translate into him being a great director.
Right.
But I would imagine that, you know, again, these people do their due diligence, so they wouldn't have chosen him if he wasn't going to do a good job. And I think he will do a really good job. And I saw today that they've confirmed something that we probably already knew, but that Carnage... Woody Harrelson was going to be the main villain in that as Carnage. So, you know, again, that doesn't really come as a surprise to anybody that saw Venom, but maybe we get some answers to some of the questions we had when we saw Venom.
I would hope so. I guess we'll talk about it a little later when we talk about Absolute Carnage. I was just wondering if you think that's going to have anything to do with it. If you think they'll take from that.
I wouldn't think so, because both of those characters would have to be well established before you could really get into an Absolute Carnage scenario, I think. But again, who knows?
Yeah. Let's see what else I got here. What else you got? Anything?
Well, just a couple things real quick. The Warner Brothers HBO Max, I guess. We have to get used to saying HBO Max. Closed a deal with BBC America to get all of their content exclusively on their service. So most notably, that is Doctor Who, all 11 seasons.
Yes.
of yep. that.
I heard that.
Which, you know, the 10 seasons have been streaming on Amazon Prime for, you know, quite a long time. But season 11, Jodie Whittaker's season, hasn't debuted on Amazon Prime, and now it looks like it never will, because as part of the streaming deal, they get exclusive first airing of season 11 for Doctor Who. But also as part of BBC America, you have Luther, which is a show I mentioned to you last week. When I got to watch season 5, it wasn't there. I couldn't find it streaming anywhere. And now that's because that's also part of the deal with HBO Max, is that season 5, even though it's aired on TV, isn't on the streaming services, because it's part of this deal with HBO Max to get season, you know, the current season of that. So,
right.
So I think that's pretty cool for them. Just, you know, starting to shape up some more of the content that we're going to get, you know, to go along with Friends.
Yeah.
On HBO Max.
Did you?
And then, go ahead.
Did you happen to, or do you happen to remember when, did they announce a date for HBO Max yet? I don't remember it, if they did.
I haven't seen one. No, I haven't seen anything official on that. I would not expect it until first quarter of next year, honestly. 20,
I thought it was 2020.
Maybe even later than first quarter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got to get going on it. You know, obviously, I think they want to make sure that everything's ready to go so there's no glitches. But, you know, Disney Plus is going to have a several-month head start on them. So,
well, as we've seen with
they would want to get going.
DC Universe, it doesn't really, head start doesn't matter. If the content's good, you're fine.
Right. You know, again, you've got these streaming services are tying up people's wallets. So
right.
At a certain point, something's going to have to give. And if you're last to the party, maybe you just don't get an invite. You know, if I'm already spending my money.
No.
You know,
I think
not everybody's me and you.
No. But you know, right? No, but if you want that content, you're gonna find you'll find something else to drop.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's why when I put that, I saw the announcement for Disney Plus package. Right. Obviously, everybody saw it in the news. I didn't retweet the news of it, but at a point, I put out the tweet late last night that like. We've said it a million times. The landscape is changing. And even I, it's like, I have Dish. I love my Dish service. I like the satellite. I like the whole setup. I like the DVRs. I mean, you're using it.
Yeah.
It's a great system. I'm thinking of getting rid of it.
Yeah, you know, I hear you. I'm the same
way
with
DirecTV.
I mean?
Because you start to wonder, like, everything I need is going to be in one of these services. And that's what
I told
by
you
the
last
landscape
week,
is changing.
When I explained my whole DVR scenario to you last week, I mean, that's really all I keep DirecTV around for anymore, is, you know, to have my DVR so I don't forget to watch things. I mean, but I guess you can set up, you know, you can set everything up in your playlists on all your different streaming platforms. And honestly, if you're an Apple TV user, your Apple TV app pops up every time something new shows up on one of the shows you watch.
Right.
It pops up a little notification telling you to watch it. So once all these things are active, I'm with you. I might give DirecTV the boot.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
I'm not going to need it. And that's, you know, $50 or $60 a month I'm paying that will help me pay for Disney Plus and HBO Max.
Right.
So
I don't know. But like I said, I'm a ways away from getting rid of Dish. But even the fact that I'm even thinking of it is a big deal for me. So,
well, like I said, I am a little ways away too, because there's still something to be said for the convenience of just being able to turn the TV on to a channel and having something be on.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with streaming is that you have to.
So.
Well, right. But the biggest thing with streaming, and like I found, you know, like I said, the story I told you last week when I was staying with my buddy, every time you turn the TV on, you have to select something to watch.
Right.
You have to find something to stream. Whereas here, I could just turn the TV on, you know, ESPN or what have you. Well, not ESPN because I don't have it.
Right.
But you know what I mean. And let the TV just be on. So I'm not quite ready to give that up yet because, like I said, you and I are old.
Yeah.
But younger people don't suffer from that.
No.
All they care about is YouTube and streaming anyway.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think we would even suffer from it either once we get rid of it.
Probably not.
We're pretty pliable old guys.
Well, and it's seldom that I turn the TV on that I don't have something in mind that I'm putting on to watch anyways. Right. But
All right.
One last thing I saw today.
One last thing for you, too.
Okay. D.B. Weiss and David Benioff signed their exclusive deal with Netflix. So those are the guys behind Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
For HBO.
Yep.
And the 2022 Star Wars trilogy.
Yep.
They just signed a huge exclusive deal with Netflix. So, again, you know, proven track record. You know, say what you want about the last few episodes of Game of Thrones. They still gave us 7 years of great TV, and they're great content creators. So kind of look forward to seeing what they do over there on Netflix. And that's it as far as what I have for the news.
All right. I have one last thing. I was listening to Endgame, the commentary. Uh-huh. With the Russo brothers are in there. There's a few other people. I don't know if you've had the opportunity. I don't know if you got the digital or you.
No, I don't have it. I'm waiting for a digital code next week.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I'll watch it.
Right.
But no, I've heard that they dropped some behind the scenes stuff on their audio track.
Yeah, there's some really cool behind the scenes stuff, but in the audio, so they explained the timeline that you were so concerned with.
Yeah.
And how did you hear about this?
I've seen the write-ups of it. They've been explaining it
how
since it came out.
Captain Marvel found Tony.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
did they say that?
Oh yeah. One of the Russo brothers explains the timeline, and it's the exact explanation that I said, and it's like, well, and he even says, he goes, what you're supposed to do is take the information we gave you at the end of Captain Marvel, that she came back, she got to Earth, they told her, okay, you're going to go out and find them, there's a tracker. He added the piece of information that we didn't add, is that there was a tracker on the ship.
Well, right, but we didn't know that, so.
Right, but he goes, but you infer that that you don't send a ship out into space without a tracking device. So, you know.
But they didn't send that ship out into space. They were stowaways on Thanos' ship. Nobody sent it out.
That wasn't
How would they be tracking that?
That's not Thanos' ship. That was their ship. That was the Guardian's ship.
Oh, the Guardian's ship. But even still, they didn't have trackers on that. They didn't know about the Guardians.
Well, I'm just telling you what the Russo said.
Well, I'm just saying
that's what they said.
I'm telling you that's stupid and it doesn't make sense.
I'm just saying
there's no way they had a tracker on that. All the Guardians had disintegrated. The only one that was left was with Tony.
Sorry. Russo's back. So, hey. Russo's back
wrong.
Me. Mic drop.
They're wrong. They're stupid. There's no way you could track a ship you didn't know existed. I'm sorry. They didn't know it existed. End of story. Moving on.
Where's Tony? No idea.
Well, they don't know where he is. Honestly, they just know he's out in space. They don't know where he is.
Sorry I brought it up.
I know you are.
No,
but...
no, I'm not. This is great.
Yeah. They're wrong.
Yeah, Russo's are wrong. 23 movies down the tubes.
I think that just sounds like something they were trying to say after the fact without checking their own.
Right.
Their
like
own
they made
news.
The whole they made the whole movie and then went, "Oh my god, did we royally screw up in an opening scene?"
Hey, it happens. It happens.
All right. Is that all we got for news?
I think so. Now that you got me all riled up.
Yeah. How are you going to be able to read off the comics?
I don't know.
All right. What am I going to angrily be spending my money on this week?
All right. So, first book that we're going to take a look at this week is from Image Comics. It's Die issue number 6. I don't know if you got a chance to read Die at all, but it's a pretty good series.
Oh, yeah.
And they did announce...
bunch
a
of
TV
our listeners,
movie
Dr. Joe
something.
Like it. I mean, I think I'm a few books back, but yeah, I like that book.
Yeah, it's really cool. So it's been gone for, you know, a little while, and it came back this week with issue number 6, a new story arc. So, you know, again, this is still super popular. Cover A selling for about $6, so it's not crazy money, but it is over cover price. And like I said, there's going to continue to be demand for this series, so I would go ahead and pick that up. If nothing else, it's a great read. So at this point, you can pick up the trade paperback that has the first five issues and then start with this one and be caught up. So that's that. Also from Image, we have Coffin Bound issue number one. This is selling for about $10. It does have a lower print run, and it was announced ahead of today as a sellout from Diamond, so that's bringing some demand there. Unfortunately, all of my copies came in damaged, so I didn't have any to sell today. Ooh. But I had a few people looking for them, and I got a chance to read this, a preview of this first two issues, about a month ago, right before FOC was due. And it's a pretty good series. I kind of liked it, so I was a little bummed that I didn't have any to sell today. But if you could find one out there, it's a good read, and like I said, it is selling for around $10. From Red 5 Comics, we have Dark Age issue number 1. This is selling for about $7 for the regular cover, and the 1 in 10 variant is selling for around $20. Again, this is just going to be low print run and low orders. I didn't order any copies of this, and I'm not sure that every store did order copies. So if you can find one, like I said, they're selling for about double cover. Finding the 1 in 10 variant is probably going to be a lot tougher because even stores that did order it may not be ordering 10 copies of this. So if you can find one, again, grab that too. And then last but not least, from Source Point Press, we have Dead End Kids number 1. This is selling for about $20 to $35. Just take everything I just said for Dark Age number 1, and that's why this one is selling for what it's selling for. This one even has less chance of being ordered from a lot of stores. So, and I think there was an announcement I saw somewhere on this that it's been optioned somewhere. So that's going to spur that on.
That's going to help.
Yeah. And that's it for Speculator Books for this week.
All right. Now let's get into some back issue bonus books.
All right. So first book on our back issue bonus is The Boys, issue number 1.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why. You might have heard of the little show on Amazon. dropped this last week, I guess. It's been pretty well received. You know, lots of people really liked it. I won't say anything about what I thought about it until we talk about it later. But, a lot of people are out looking for this. I sold out of trade paperbacks this week on this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And now, of course, they're all out of stock at Diamond, so I can't get any more right now. But, the irregular issues of this, first issue selling for between $65 and $80. And, this is going to be a hit. You know, they've already got a season 2 coming.
Yeah.
The prices are not going to drop on this book. So, back to, my famous saying, if you want it, get it.
Yeah.
Get it now. pay $65 now or pay $100+ later because it's going to keep going up. Next on the list, from 1994, we have Blade the Vampire Hunter, issue number 1. This is the first issue of Blade's first solo series. We know that Blade was announced over there at San Diego Comic-Con for a movie, so it's starting to drive prices on some of these things up. This was previously probably a 50-cent bin comic. Nobody was really looking for it. It was a 90s book. It has a nice foil cover, and there's probably a million copies of them out there, but now people are looking for it, so I would go on the hunt and try to find one. And last but not least, we have Silver Surfer, issue number 81. This is volume 2. This is the first appearance of Tyrant. This was also a dollar bin book very recently. Prices are now jumping between $25 and $35. So again, scour your back issue bins. You still might be able to find it for a couple dollars.
Cool.
And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Now for final order cutoff for Monday.
All right. So first book is from Dark Horse Comics. We have Triage, issue number 1. There are two covers available for that. that is a new series. Next from DC, we have several variant covers. We have the Batman 78 Year of the Villain variant from Clay Mann. And we have Deathstroke 47 Year of the Villain variant from Scan. Never heard of Scan before.
No.
I'm wondering if it's like...
If you haven't, I definitely haven't.
I'm wondering if it's like the acronym for... Like, remember a couple weeks ago we had that artist that was like... Roy or something.
Yeah.
And it, you know, ended up being a long name. So I don't know who Scan is, but it's a really cool cover. Next, we have Lois Lane, issue number 3. That's Sana Takeda. She's a great artist. She does Monstrous for Image. And that's a really beautiful series. The art is great. And this Lois Lane cover is pretty great, too. So take a look at that. And last, we have Young Justice, issue number 8 from John Boy Myers. DC has 3 new series. We have Batman vs. Ra's al Ghul. This is issue number 1 of a 6-issue miniseries. There's 2 covers for this. This is written and drawn by Neil Adams. Neil Adams famously did a bunch of Batman and Ra's al Ghul stuff way back in the early 70s. This should be a pretty good series. Then we have Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, issue number 1. This is going to be a 6-issue miniseries. There's multiple covers for this. I posted the main cover today on our FOC post, but earlier in the week I posted the 2 Art Germ connecting covers for this, and I think those are gorgeous covers. So I would go ahead and lock down my orders on whichever cover you want.
Cool.
For that. And last but not least, we have Legion of Superheroes Millennium, issue number 1 of 2. So short miniseries. This is written by Brian Michael Bendis. He's been teasing the Legion for a little while, and I think this is not going to be the last Legion, you know, that we get. I think this is just the kickoff to, you know, whatever he's got planned for them. And there's 2 covers for that.
Okay.
That's it for DC. We're going to move down to Image. We have new series Battle Pug, issue number 1. That's just like it sounds.
Yep.
To go along with Star Pig, we have Battle Pug.
Didn't we have a sword fighting rabbit too at one point? Was that?
Well, we have Usagi Yojimbo. Oh yeah. Well,
what was it?
Yes, we had Stabbity Bunny.
That was it. Stabbity
Bunny. That's a different company. But yeah, we got lots of animals running around doing all kinds of dastardly things.
It's always turtles for me.
Yeah. Next from Image, we have Pretty Deadly Rat, number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries. So Pretty Deadly was a series they did a little while back.
Animal.
I don't know where Rat comes in. As far as I know, Pretty Deadly didn't have anything to do with a rat, but I have not read it, so maybe I'm wrong. But again, that's a 5-issue miniseries. There's only 1 cover. And then last but not least from Image, we have Spawn number 300. This is re-FOC'd, so I'm not quite sure what happened with that, but it's back up again. There's still 10 covers. There's still at least 3 of them that we haven't seen the art for yet. So we didn't get it before last week's FOC. Maybe this week we'll get the images before FOC so we can figure out what they look like before we order them. That would be great, Image. Hint, hint.
I'll do what I can.
I know. Make sure Todd McFarlane listens to this.
Yeah.
And we find out that. And that's it for Image. So moving on down to Marvel. I don't have any variant covers to list. Most of them didn't have images up. The ones that did were nothing really special. But there's 3 new series from Marvel. We've got Absolute Carnage Symbiote Spider-Man, issue number 1.
Yep.
And I think this is actually just a one shot. I don't think it's a series.
It's in the back of Absolute Carnage this week.
But there's a whole bunch of covers for it. We have Alpha Flight True North, issue number 1. There's 2 covers for it. I loved Alpha Flight back in the day, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what this is all about. And then we have Web of Black Widow, issue number 1. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. There's multiple covers for it. And that's it for Marvel. Two more real quick from Dynamite Comics. We have Vampirilla and Red Sonja, issue number one. This looks like it's actually going to be an ongoing series now. We've seen these two paired up together many times over the years, but they've always been in short-lived, you know, series. So not quite sure what the dynamic is going to be here, because obviously they live in different worlds. But I didn't see any number of issues attached, so I think it's going to be ongoing. True to form, Dynamite has about 15 covers for this. There's several ratios. Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's not 9,700, though. So
no.
But there's a whole bunch of covers for that. And then lastly, from Zenoscope Comics, we have Mystery. I'm not sure how to say this, but it's like mystery with an E instead of a Y.
Yeah.
And also, I don't see a number of issues attached, so this might be a new ongoing series. And
have you seen a cover for it?
I did see the cover.
Oh,
yeah.
It says multiple, so I did.
Well, there are multiple. Well, I've seen. I think all the covers are available to view for this, actually, but I only posted the A cover. But Zenoscope does five covers. There's usually A through E, and this is the same. There's five covers for it, so. And that's it. And, you know, I tend to like a lot of Zenoscope lately, so,
yeah,
you know, I'll be on board for this one.
No, I like this. I like this stuff.
Yeah, me too. And that's it for FOC.
All right. So let's get into recommended reading. So this week, let's start with your second one, because after that, that's all we got, because I'm with you on your first and all the others. So
okay. All right. First book, then, is from Dynamite Comics. This is Death Defying Devil, issue number one, written by Gail Simone, art by Walter Giovanni. So this is one I was kind of interested in picking up, because we've talked about it a few times. Dynamite's been really pushing this book. You know, this guy's got a definite Daredevil feel to him.
I wish I'd seen this one today. I would have grabbed it, because I was looking for another one to read, and I didn't see this one.
Yeah, so this one's, you know, I don't know where I fall on this one, to be honest with you. So the story takes place in a very, very familiar scenario where you have a bunch of poor people that are living in a housing complex that they really can't afford, and some rich guy is wanting to take over, you know, the neighborhood so he can mow everything down and put up a shopping mall or whatever, you know, whatever he's going to put up. So, you know, he's sending his goons around to try to, you know, get the people to want to leave the area. And, I mean, like I said, we've seen this scenario a million times in comics and TV shows and movies and what have you.
Yep.
So, it, you know, there was nothing original here when it came to that. And then, of course, you have the death-defying devil, and he's the hero that gets involved because he stumbles upon these two people that are getting, you know, abused by the goons of the rich guy, and he jumps in to try to save him. Doesn't do so well. He doesn't fare so well in the fight, and he gets hurt, and he gets brought into the, you know, the home of all the neighbors there, and, you know, they talk to him, and he seems like he's unconscious through the whole thing, but you know, he must be listening, because, you know, again, the goons come back and start to cause more trouble, and this guy hops right up and gets right back involved in the conversation again. So, so like I said, I don't know. It really did feel a lot like Daredevil. The guy's, instead of having his baton, his billy clubs, he's got like boomerangs. But he looks just like Daredevil. You know, he's named just like Daredevil. The biggest difference is, you know, he's not all red. His costumes, he's like half. If you ever saw the old Star Trek episode with the guys that were like half black and half white right down the middle,
yeah.
Well, that's the way he looks. He's blue on one side and red on the other. And, you know, not to be too picky on the art of this or just kind of the figuring it out of it, but it kind of looks like that's how he looks all the time physically because,
right.
Like, if I don't know if you saw the book, but like he's got a mouth and teeth. And, like, he's talking, and, you know, it's blue on one side and red on the other, and it's split. But then he gets in the fight, and you can see him laying on the couch, and the eye's torn down. So you can see that it's a mask because now you can see his skin underneath it. So I'm like, well, what kind of form-fitting mask is that that goes right onto the guy's lips?
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. That was a little weird to me. So I thought the whole setup was a little weird. You know, I usually like Gail Simone's writing. But this one, I don't know. This just felt very, like, phoned in. Like, it just felt like a very stock story, you know, that wasn't very original.
It fell flat for you.
It did, yeah. I really wanted to read it. Because, like I said, I know Dynamite's been pushing this as a, like, they're not really in the superhero game. You know, Dynamite has a lot of licensed stuff.
Yeah.
And I think this is what they were trying to do to get into that game. And, you know, they brought Gail on who, you know, like I said, she's a very popular writer. And, I don't know, this one, like I said, it fell a little flat.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens sometimes when you're looking forward to something too.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't pan out the way you wanted it to.
Yeah.
So. All right, you want to do the second one, Berserker Unbound, number one?
Yeah, so Dark Horse Berserker. Comics. Yep, Dark Horse Comics is written by Jeff Lemire and art by Mike Diodato. So I like both of these guys quite a bit. So I was also really looking forward to this book. Once again, this was just Conan. Like, you know, I love Conan. So you know I like that. But this book, to me, didn't bring anything new to the story that I couldn't just get from reading Conan. The art was gorgeous.
Yes.
Like, I thought the art was great on this. And Jeff Lemire, I don't know if you can really give him a writing credit on this as much as just a plotting credit, because there wasn't a lot of words.
No.
It was very art-driven, though.
Yes. A
lot of pages with just art and no words whatsoever.
Yeah, there's like a couple of, well, I know
and then,
one full page.
Right. And then I know you're dying to jump in and say something, too, but I'll end it with the same thing I just said about Death Defying Devil. It's like you get to the end of the book, and it's the same old thing. This is just the guy from back in the past that fights with a sword ends up running around in New York City or wherever he is. And,
right.
You know, just like Knights Temporal from last week and Red Sonja last year when she got brought to New York City. It's like we love to take all these guys and just drag them forward in time and see how Conan survives in New York City. So
right. Like
all that being said, I liked it.
But because the art is so good.
Yes.
Did you notice that as the story, like the, it was almost like a monochromatic at the beginning to the reds. And
yeah.
And then when he got it, it went to almost like a green in the middle when he got, quote unquote transported. So you had, I mean, kind of like red to green is like opposite. It's not really, it's not bold monochromatic, it's kind of subtle, but I noticed that, and that just plays to the artwork and how, like you said, it's art driven. The character at the end, did you think what I thought? I was like, I got a little disappointed. I was like, are you kidding me? Is that Nick Fury?
Oh. No.
Didn't he look just like him?
He did. Yeah, like, he did. But no, I didn't really think that.
As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, no.
Well, that would have been interesting since Nick Fury doesn't belong to Dark Horse
Comics.
But,
the ending is the cover.
Right.
And then, so like.
Yeah, I say we didn't spoil anything because it's right on the cover.
Yeah, and it's. Yeah, I don't know how. Same thing. I don't know how you call this a recommendation or not, because it's one of those books that, like, if you don't read it, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
If you don't pick this one up, I'm sure you've read it somewhere along the line.
And that's the whole thing. It's
it
like,
didn't seem very original, and the ending didn't really bring you to a point where it did pick up a little at the end for me, the writing part, and then. You were just like, oh, okay.
Right, because nothing there, even though you saw him transported to, you know, basically present day, nothing about it was super compelling to make you want to come back next week.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't even care why.
Right.
They didn't even, I mean.
You don't know why and you don't really care why.
You feel bad for them. They set that up nicely, but that story's been told a million times.
But again,
times.
The same story that you see everywhere. Right. You know, the guy loses his family, and
isn't that exactly what happened to Conan too?
It's pretty much. It's like, that's what I'm saying. If you want this, just read Conan from Marvel. It's actually better.
The artwork is very good, though.
The artwork is great, honestly.
You know, we talk about a lot of stories and we don't mention the artwork because the writing is so good. This is the exact opposite.
Right.
So,
and then again, the only thing that will bring me back is Jeff Lemire, because I really like his writing. So I just wonder what he has in store, because this being such a generic first issue, there's got to be more to it. You know, but I don't know. Again, also fell a little flat for me. But you know, hey, the art's worth $4, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the next issue's September 4th, so.
Right.
Pick that up. You can let us know, and then maybe I'll grab it.
Yeah. Well, I'll read it because, you know, again, I have that option to read it without spending $4 on it.
Yeah, exactly. So let us know.
Yeah.
All right. And you want to get into the big one for the week? It's been actually Friendly Neighborhood did a midnight show.
Yeah.
Midnight show for it. Well, not a show. Opening for it. I wasn't able to make that, but... a lot of talk about this one, and in my opinion, it's living up. Absolute Carnage number one, Marvel Comics, Donnie Cates.
Yep. Written by Donnie Cates, art by Ryan Stegman.
Both awesome jobs.
Go ahead.
I love this story.
Yeah, this was great. This book was a crazy ride from start to finish. You know, this story's been building. He's been building this story for about a year, maybe more. You know, throughout the Venom comic.
Yeah.
Well, actually more than a year, probably closer to 2 years in Venom, and then through a whole series of one-shots, you know, the Cult of Carnage and Web of Venom, this and that and the other thing. And it finally has all come to its culmination with this story here.
So I haven't been reading any of the Venom.
Okay.
And so if you haven't been reading any of the Venom... It's great. Pick it up.
It doesn't
right
matter
here because
right. It's just kind of like House of X was.
Yeah.
If you have that backstory, like when you see John Jameson
in
this
than
book,
House of X.
Well,
I think
it
House
is.
House of X
but,
is a reboot. It's like a completely different thing. This right. is a, he does a great job, and this is what I wanted to say is he does a great job of explaining. If you don't know what it is, there's right. subtle explanations on what this is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, he's using the backstory, and he's explaining it to you as you go through this story.
Well, and then, like I was going to say, there are some nods to the previous stories.
Yes.
You know, when you meet John Jameson in this, you know, they reference back to, you know, his issue. So, I mean, there's things there if you have read all of these different things along the way. But, yeah, like DJ said, it's very self-contained. You can start here and... You know exactly what's going on. There's nothing that you would be lost about at all. Like I said, this was a great book. It was a lot of fun. The art was great. The writing was great. So, and this is a big book. Like, I don't know how many pages this was, but this is a deep read. Like, this took a, you know, it's $7.99, I believe, cover price on this. So, you know, that's a hefty price tag on this, but it does live up. I mean, it's a more than a double-sized issue as far as content goes, and it was a great ride.
But it's a steady read. You're not dozing. You're not like you're not counting your pages. I found myself going, "Oh no, it's almost over."
Right.
You know.
Yeah. No. Like I said, it didn't feel long. It just, but it was substance. Like
you get
it was
your money's worth.
Enough here that you did get your money's worth. It wasn't like, you know, Superman Year One where I couldn't wait to get to the end of it. So, just throwing that little dig in there again. Ahead of issue two.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what else we want to say about it because, you know, we don't want to get into too many spoilers on day one.
There's some great spoiler. There's some great stuff that pops up in there.
But, yeah, there is. I say absolutely go out and get it. And you know, like I said, DJ
I get
said,
it. I see what you said. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, but like DJ said, if you have not been keeping up with Venom, and like if you're like me, I'm not even a huge Venom fan. You know, I've been reading the newest series because I like Donny Cates and it's been very interesting, but I'm not a deep Venom reader. I don't go back super far with, you know, I mean, I read his first appearance and stuff in Spider-Man, but I don't follow Venom, right. But I still loved this series. Like, this was great, and this is going to touch every single part of the Marvel Universe character-wise. Yes. You know, he's going after every character that's ever worn a symbiote.
Right.
And that's like everybody, you know, and that's there's not many characters on. that haven't worn the symbiote. So everybody's going to be pulled into this story, I think. And, you know, Donny Cates has said that not everybody makes it back out. So we'll see what that means. But
yeah, they reference quite a few characters in here.
Yes.
In one way or another. So it just building to when you get to the. You know, after you read the book, you'll see at the end all the books that are coming, so you know how big this is going to be, and it's going to be. I'm very, very excited for this. I didn't think I would be. After you know, War of the Realms, I was.
Well, and I was going to say, we'll have to. You know, it remains to be seen how much required reading there's going to be outside of this main series. Because just like War of the Realms, there was a whole bunch of spinoffs that kind of tangentially, you know, were related.
It doesn't seem as deep.
Weren't necessary. So I don't know how much you're going to have to go out and read Absolute Carnage Scream or Lethal Protectors or all the other ones that are coming. But this is a fun, looks like it's going to be a fun ride. So it'll be worth at least checking them out.
Yeah.
See.
It looks like it's maybe it's a couple of books a week here and there.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's pretty deep. I mean, it's almost on par with War of the Realms. I mean, there's several different one shots and miniseries involved in this, so I think the issue count is going to be right up there.
Well, there's 8 books in August. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in September, but only 1, 2, 3, 4. 8 in October, and then 2 in November.
Well, that's 29 issues, and that's on par with War of the Realms. So,
yeah,
I mean, there's going to be a lot there. But, you know, like I said, who knows how relevant every single mini or spinoff is going to be. But even just this main, you know, we talked about it a few weeks ago, even the main series got an extra issue added to the end of it.
Yeah, number 5.
You know,
5.
It's now going to be 5 issues instead of 4. So.
Right. So, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It'll be interesting to see what the next one... what book is next? Is it 2? Did they list those in order in the back?
I'm not.
What comes out? It's got to be something next week.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be 2 then.
There's 7
I think
more
it's,
books coming out this month.
I think it's Scream.
Okay.
It might be Scream, but could be wrong. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me.
So there's Scream 1, Scream 2, and Scream 3.
Yeah.
And that's it. But Scream.
But are they listed that way, though, in order of release? No, they're
not,
right?
That's the thing, is I don't think they were... Here's the order for August that they listed. Absolute Carnage checklist. Absolute Carnage number 1, Absolute Carnage number 2, Absolute Carnage Miles Morales number 1. Absolute Carnage Scream number 1, Absolute Carnage Lethal Protectors number 1, Absolute Carnage vs. Deadpool number 1, Absolute Carnage Separation Anxiety number 1, and then Venom number 17.
I don't think we get 1 and 2 back to back, because that wouldn't seem right. So I don't think that's in order of release. It's just the ones that we're getting this month. So I want to say Scream, if I'm just trying to remember back to the FOC order. I think that might be next. I'll be able to check later, and I can tweet you, or we can tweet it out, or what have you.
I can check right now.
Or just show up to your store next Wednesday and buy what's on the rack. So
that's a good point. That's usually what I do anyway.
That's the reading order. Is
what's
like
on
whatever
the rack?
Whatever comes out next week, that's the order.
Yeah.
So hot take.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, while I'm looking up what's next week, Absolute Carnage, Separation, Anxiety. Oh, so next week, here we go. Absolute Carnage, Scream number one is next week. Absolute Carnage, Separation, Anxiety number one is next week.
Which that, I believe, is just the one shot.
Okay. So that, yeah.
So we get both of those next week. Okay.
Yep. Two books next week. See? Look at that. We did our homework while we were doing our homework.
Look at that.
All right. Now, let's wrap it up with touch on House of X this week.
Yeah. What can I say without giving any spoilers away? Like, oh my God, they just totally flipped the whole Marvel Universe on its head.
And I thought it was awesome.
It was. It was fantastic.
I loved this book. Yeah, I thought this book reset everything for me. I'm very excited about. I mean, I have a feeling we're going to be going back to this book after other books to check things, if you know what I mean.
Well, first of all, if you listen to our review of 1 and 2 on Monday, what I said about I thought we were going to go right back to House of X number one. That was wrong, because that's not where we go.
Nope.
We go back to basically the first two pages of Powers of Ten, and we get that whole story.
Kind
of. So, yeah. So what I will say is that Jonathan Hickman had mentioned when Powers of Ten came out that those first two pages of that book was the most important moment, like, in X-Men history. And this book shows you why it is that.
So one of the things I was laughing. So when I edited our podcast for our Monday's podcast, I edited it on Sunday morning, and I'm sitting there listening to us talk about Powers of Ten.
Right.
And there was a huge point that we never made in the entire podcast.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what that was?
No.
So people have told me since then it's power. You know, people are saying power, House of X and Powers of X.
Powers of Ten.
It's Powers of Ten. Right. And we never made the point that the book points that out.
Oh, yeah, because it's X to the ten, X to ten powers.
Each year is 10 years.
I knew that.
Times ten.
I did know that, because Hickman had said that when he explained what the titles meant.
Right.
We just didn't bring it up.
I didn't even notice it, because I made the joke that, like, what if the next powers is, like, the year 4,000? But that wouldn't work. It would have to be 10,000.
Right.
And it's like, I was laughing at myself while I'm editing us, going, I am an idiot that I didn't pick up on that, because you're so, or at least for myself, I was so overwhelmed at looking for every little detail that I missed, like, the forest through the trees.
Right.
Like, you're like, it's right here in the opening pages what Powers of Ten means, you know?
Right.
Because, when I introduced the books, I screwed it up. And it's like, because I wasn't even thinking Powers of Ten. And then they open with the powers, you know, X to the zero power, X to the one. It's like, duh. I thought that was wicked funny. I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I'm like reading this thing. But yeah, back to this book. I thought it so good. I didn't feel it that it was as overwhelming.
No, it wasn't. Like this one, this will be the first one that I don't.
It's a great story.
But I don't feel like I have to read it twice.
But I did.
Like, I probably will anyways. But the other two issues, I mean, I felt like I had to read them a second time because I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
This one here, it wasn't as complicated. I did read the first couple of pages twice because I wanted to – when they first show her power, I didn't realize that – she got to relive the same life over and over again.
Yeah, like a Groundhog Day?
Right. I thought originally that she was just getting another chance with her memories. And then when they mentioned that she decided not to meet the love of her life the second time around, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. She's living the exact same life
again. Right, because they kept
right.
Showing.
Well, like I said, but I had to read that.
One particular panel shows up multiple times.
Right, but that it took me a second to put that together.
Right.
I just basically thought it was... like I said, not a Groundhog Day situation, that she was just being born again through time is basically what I thought it was.
You've read X-Men all along.
Yes.
Does she show up a bunch in X-Men?
Oh yeah, she's a major character.
Okay.
She's been around since early 70s.
Okay.
She's a major X-Men character, but she's never had that power. Like, she's never been a mutant.
Okay.
She's never been revealed to be a mutant.
Because
she's always treated as a human.
I recognized her from the movie.
The movies. Yeah. Yeah, she had a cameo in the movie, in both movies, actually. She was in one of the original X-Men, and then she was in First Class.
I don't remember in one of the originals.
I only know because I Googled it.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to see if she actually had always had those powers. So I did a little Wikipedia
read on
her.
That's what I was looking for. I remember, because I remember the name.
Because I remembered her too, and I was like, I don't remember her ever having abilities like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, without getting into too many spoilers, though, we now know how it is possible that all of their past history still happened, even though it may not be part of their current reality.
So,
and
the reason
that just opens up the ability for them to do really whatever they want. Like, there's nothing they can't do.
Well, it's not that there's nothing they can't do, but they're in these three books so far. What they've done is they've created the opportunity to tell any story they want and have it be feasible.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, okay, we're getting this story from this time and this whatever. So when I picked this book up this morning, Slade had told me he had already read it. And he said, look, you're going to want to read this. I guarantee you're going to like it. And read it again and you'll like it even more. And that's what I did. So that's what I wanted to pass on to our listeners, because when you read it the second time, because you know the whole story, it's a lot more fun. You'll see other things in it. So that's why I'm saying, I'm like, you don't need to read this to get more information, but you'll understand. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll probably read it again tonight just because I've read all the other ones a couple times.
Yeah.
But in general, I don't make it a habit to read comics twice. You know, I have too many comics to read the same ones over again.
After Powers last week, I thought the Webster Dictionary would be easier to read. But this was a great read, though. It was.
So what I was going to say, though, is this didn't answer any of the questions, really, that we had lingering from last week.
Still have them.
Still have the same questions. Now have more questions. Not as many.
I don't know if I have more. I thought this was a really good story that you want, you know what I mean? It was almost like a nice reprieve. There was a story here. A beginning and an end. It's not a one-off, but it almost felt like it.
But it's definitely not. It's integral to the story.
Right.
You know.
So.
And I loved her timeline at the end. You know, the quote-unquote white page.
That
was hard to read
pages.
Because it spread out on three pages. It would have been much easier to read if we could have got, like, a fold-out
poster,
three-page poster. Because I had to keep flipping over to the other side to see what was going on.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That's one of those things where I feel like we're going to be referencing back to.
Right. And if you noticed, I don't know if you noticed, but Life Number 6 was left out completely.
We
have no idea what happened there. So, again, that's something that could be brought back, you know, in the future, something they could touch on later.
So, remember a couple, or I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where we referenced the books that are highlighted in red?
This was one of them.
This was the first book that was highlighted in red when you get to the end for the reading order.
Right.
So that the next one isn't until September 18th. It's like House of X number 5.
Number 5, right.
Yeah. So
but this was a super important issue in the, you know, in the story so far.
Right.
So I don't know if it's just trying to designate the ones that have, you know, real significance to the overall story.
Yeah.
Because we'll have to wait and see what happens in House number 5.
Yeah.
You know. But,
so, I had one last point. I mean, I could go on about all three of these books.
Yeah.
So my last point was, I thought of it this week. What do you think of the idea that all of this writing, Hickman's writing, is going to play into the MCU?
Because I don't think it at all.
So, well, hear me out for a second.
No, I will. But
what if they you've got, they've already introduced Krakoa, and it's in the middle of the Pacific, and later on in the MC, in basically erasing the entire previous X-Men timelines, and the MCU brings in this history of X-Men, and being on Krakoa, it explains where they've been this whole time. Almost like they could pick, one of the years where Xavier was building his, building the island, or collecting his mutants on the island, because there's no more, mansion. They're on an island now. They've completely revamped the X-Men universe, and what if they brought that universe into the MCU? Because then you don't have to do anything with what has already taken place in cinema.
Right, but I don't think they have to anyways. Like, I don't think they're going to reference... I don't know. You know, again, I don't know. It could be anything, so obviously it's possible. But I think the Fox movies just don't exist. Like, they just pretend like they never happened, and they start
well, they
fresh
do.
Somewhere.
They're part of X-Men lore. They're definitely.
But they don't have to be, though. The thing is, they don't have to be. Marvel doesn't have to reference them in any way, shape, or form.
That's what I mean. But they're part of entertainment for us. But you can separate that. You know what I mean? And now you go with a different story, and because X-Men aren't coming out for a couple of years.
Well, now they're saying Phase 6, maybe. So that's at least 10 years probably from now.
Right. And this could be it. 10 years from now, this would be an old story that they could be referencing. And 10 years from now, we'll be sitting here, oh, remember when Hickman started back in such and such? It wouldn't seem like it would seem like an old story, because they do that all the time. Like Captain Marvel was referenced, the story they used was, what, that Carol Danvers was from like 2012, I think?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, if I remember, it's something like that, but it wasn't that long ago. So, I just thought of that this week. I was just...
Yeah, like I said, who knows? We don't,
would be
we
cool.
Don't know. Could be anything, but...
So.
But like I said, I don't know. I'd be surprised if they referenced it, but like I said, could be anything.
All right, so we can wrap up with, I got a couple tweets regarding House and
Palace.
Well,
I just want to say real quick, too, again, Pepe Larraz, the art is like so incredible in this book.
Yes.
I think he's one of Marvel's definite up-and-coming artists. I think even past this, I can't wait to see what he does next. Hopefully he joins Hickman on the main X-Men series when this is done.
Yeah,
because like his treatment of these characters, I think, has been great. So go ahead with the tweets.
So yeah, we got a couple of tweets this past week talking about the X-Men. Jeremy Armstrong at Bo89 Sox. Both books are fun. Excited about whatever direction they're going. And Dr. Joe, can't wait to listen to these two books. Have my mind in a pretzel. Not a terribly hard thing to do. Trying to figure it out.
Well, I don't know if we helped unravel that.
No. So. If anything, we made him feel more comfortable that we're pretzels too.
I would say, his mind is more pretzel than it was before.
But hopefully
he got a chance to read this one today, and it did answer a few things for us. So, it makes the story a little bit clearer.
So, all right, that it.
I think so.
All right. Coming up soon. Hopefully we have some big news to announce soon. That'll be fun. So jump in on the Bright Side chat, and join the Bright Side chat and tweet us. I think we're going to have to start just using Twitter, because it's getting spread out. I put stuff out on all of the platforms, but it's really hard to keep up.
Well, Twitter's the most active anyway. So
yeah.
Go to Facebook so you can see our FOC pictures and anything else, go to Twitter.
It's like, if people aren't on Twitter, there's nothing we can do about that. But, the conversations we're getting and having on Twitter are great, even just the listeners back and forth to each other. Keep it up. Let us know what you thought of any of the books tonight. Tomorrow, Monday, we're doing The Boys.
Yes.
Yes. So Monday we'll be doing The Boys. Can't wait for that.
That didn't sound great, but.
What? Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know what you'll be doing, but.
Yeah, we'll be reviewing.
Yes, thank you.
Thank God this is audio, bright red. So, all right, on that note, tweet us at brightside_chat, email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, blah, blah, blah. And we are on Facebook.
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
And rate, review, subscribe, please, on iTunes. That's where we get our numbers, and that's part of the news. So hopefully we can get those numbers up, and we're going to be having some fun in the future. Yep, that's it for this week. We will catch you on Monday.
All right, take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.